All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. Do you ever find yourself saying, I just don't have time? Whether it's growing your business or even taking care of yourself, that phrase is holding you back.
In today's episode, we have Alicia St. Germain, who has trained over 10,000 people. We're going to dive in into where this mindset come from, how you can become aware of it, and ways to build a support system that will help you live an abundant life.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Fairclough.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli. Today, you're here for a treat. One of my favorite people in the world, Alicia St. Germain, is here to talk about time. So, my friend, I usually hear women saying, I don't have time for this. Where do you think that comes from?
Well, it's a really passive way of passing responsibility.
Tell me
more. Because it's not my fault. It's not my fault that I can't do this thing. It's not my unable to do this thing. And so it's completely disempowering you. And it's taking away your choice. It's taking away your responsibility, and it's leaving you out of control. So I used to be someone who said, I don't have time all the time. I do not say that anymore.
Where does this come from? But there is a systemic issue here, right? It's not just like, oh, Liz says this, or Andressa. Well, Andressa doesn't say that, but, and I don't really say this much. But regardless, it's a common, it is just a knee-jerk. Mm-hmm. It's a knee-jerk phrase that I honestly don't even think a conscious thought is even there, right?
No, I don't think someone's sitting there going, how do I pass the buck?
Yeah, how do I not take responsibility of any of this? I don't think it's conscious, right? You know, you do this work. But where does it begin for especially for women?
So, you know, when we start out, especially your listeners who are ambitious and they want big, beautiful dreams for themselves, and then they start piling on all of the responsibilities that are traditionally placed on women as caregivers and caregivers, not only of children, but then there's this messy middle where you're caregivers to children and caregivers to parents. And it's this pile on, and then your business starts to do well. And then you have these other clients and tenants and people that you're responsible for. And so you become the cog at the center of the wheel, and it can feel very true. Like, it's very true that time is a finite thing, and you as one person can only do so much. But it's really easy to say, like, I don't have time, because it's true. But when we start to look at time as something to solve for and not a limited resource, and we figure out, how do we solve this problem? How do we expand time? How do we bend time? It's a little different way of thinking of it, but it's something really, if you look at it from a scientific or experimental way, it's something to actually solve for.
So something happened this week. I'll share
something. How many things happened, right?
No, it related to time, right? Because I pack my day, and my mom is in Brazil, so my support system is not here at the moment. So there's a different layer as a single mom that I need to manage as well. But something happened that I was accomplishing all the things that I had to do during my day. And then I'm like, how has this happened? Because it was a very ambitious list. And I feel good about it. So that does not happen very often. So don't take that as like, oh my gosh, she's like rubbing in our faces. No, there are many days that I'm like very frustrated, that I didn't get a few things done that I need to move along and get going, right? But one thing, and I want to, as you were saying, Alicia, about managing the time, but like bending the time, I think one thing that I changed is how I approach time. Am I showing up with my best self in terms of my mindset? Is my mind clear and ready to go? Am I fed? Am I hydrated? Did I sleep over 8 hours? So those check boxes, I feel that if I take care of myself, if my cup is full, it seems to me that I have abundant time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense because there's often this is one of the places where we try to steal time from is self-care. And what happens is this actually slows down your productivity, slows down your thought process. So if your cup is full, you actually move through things faster, solve problems faster. And sometimes it just means letting a problem hang out in your brain without needing a solution to it, because your unconscious will actually go to work on solving that problem while you're doing other things if you just give it over to your brain to figure it out. And that's something that we often think is like we have to move a problem forward. We have to have something we have to do. When you can actually just let it hang out, and you may be in the middle of doing something else. If you've ever had, like this happens to me in the shower all the time. I'll be doing a mundane activity and all of a sudden the answer just comes to me and I can solve it in 10 minutes when I'd been spending 3 hours. And so sometimes it's just trusting to let it hang out and you don't actually have to do anything. There's a very masculine energy to I have to do. Sometimes it's just holding space for whatever it is to work it out or let other people solve it.
You talk a little bit about unconscious wiring and that actually causes people to self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this like hidden programming, which many people aren't even aware of internally, how does that impact the way women actually either think about time, manage their time, say things like, I don't have time? So how are the two connected and how can everyone listening start to unpack that?
It's fascinating. First of all, if you've never heard me speak before about it, it's a concept of immunity to change, where the brain is hardwired with if-then statements, essentially that if I do this, then that will happen. And it causes you to feel a certain feeling. And then that feeling causes you, your body naturally wants to avoid that feeling, that bad feeling that's going to come up. So you'll have behaviors that you do. And so this could look like, this is very, very common where we are telling people in order for them to get time back, they have to hire help, hire support. And so then they hire support and they have a bad experience. And they're like, it just took me more time. I had to train the person. I had to, they didn't do what I told them to do.
They quit.
Didn't work out, right? And there's a whole host of things that could have happened. One is if you had a belief that like if your value comes from what you do in a day, and you're like, if I do, then I'm valuable. You unconsciously are maybe questioning, well, if they're doing my job, if they're doing what I used to do, what value do I have? And you're not thinking this consciously. You're not like walking around with this. You just kind of step in and think, well, I'll just do this because it'll be helpful for them. Meanwhile, the other person may be perceiving it as, oh, I'm not doing a good job. They're disempowered. They don't think that they're helping you anymore. And so they quit. Or you think if I don't do it myself, it won't get done right. And there's no space for someone to do it differently. So there's a lot of things that we do when we hire someone that can actually really disempower them if you're not clear on what drives you or what feels unsafe for you.
Oof. Take a breath, everybody. As I am thinking, and I hear a lot of the women who are living abundant lives, they have a lot going on in their days, right? And they're ambitious. And they are in this phase of their lives right now that they want to continue growing, but having more quality, quality of time, quality of connections, quality of projects, more intentional with how they proceed. That being said, the tasks, the to-do list, it's not shorter, right? They have done different types of exercises to prioritize. They have done the blocking on the calendar, but they still have challenges trying to balance embracing new possibilities and adventures and also respecting how much they can handle. How to mitigate that?
Well, first of all, I think it's great, the priority setting that we do, because that's really what is at the core of time, is what are you making a priority? What choices are you making? And we do time block, right? And then I often hear people blow through a time block. And so I think it's a practice, and it's challenging. And we talk a lot about experimental mindset, like what, not this will happen if I don't address it right away. This bad thing will happen if I don't address it right away, which is ultimately why people get thrown off their schedule. It's questioning, will it really go wrong? Will things really fall apart if I handle this at now versus 3 o'clock? And a lot of times, whatever it was that you were going to abandon what was important, your future goals, actually worked itself out. Like your family figured it out. The person who was calling said, never mind. There is a part of leadership to just intentionally letting people struggle, because they can figure it out themselves many times and you still have that couple hours. But it takes you also managing your own mind and not spending all your time worrying about what's going on. So that's trust.
Yeah, I think it was Boundary Boss with Terry Cole that she talks about in a chapter of the book about managing our anxiety and our immediate need to jump to help. And being okay letting the other person hanging on the struggle bus for a little bit, because it's beneficial to them to build that muscle. So everything that we're saying here makes sense, but it requires a lot of awareness, a lot of awareness. And I think that many people are like, what the hell are you guys talking about? I have this amount of kids, this business, and last time that I checked, the day has 24 hours. So it's pretty simple. Right? What is at stake if women that are listening now don't start looking at time in a different way?
Well-being, number one. And you can mindset yourself into burnout. And meaning, if you're really good at managing your emotions, looking at what they might mean, having a positive mindset, and you're not addressing, you're just shoving down uncomfortable feelings. Like, I'm just going to shove this irritation into the pit of my stomach. I'm just going to shove this fear into the pit of my stomach. You're not releasing that. It's not going anywhere. You haven't solved anything. You're just mindsetting yourself into holding more emotion into your body. And that leads to disease. It leads to burnout. It leads to a plateau in your financial growth, because your body unconsciously knows you can't handle more. And you'll start finding everything wrong with every deal that comes across your plate.
Absolutely. Which then brings me to the biggest problem when women are managing, when they're going through this, I don't have time, you know, space, if you will. What comes up a lot is they just start piling on another strategy. They start, again, like we were saying, the time says it's another strategy. But it's not about another strategy. It's about who are you being in the process. That's why the work we do in Strive and the work that you specifically do, Alicia, in the business and leadership call is so crucial, right? Because you can learn the next strategy, managing time, building your portfolio, but you're just literally piling on another strategy into a way of being that isn't working. And that's the root cause. And that's the kind of work that we're so proud of that we do with our Strive mentees. So talk about creating possibilities, because we talk, Andres and I, you know, and you, we have this language about creating possibilities. And we've created a lot of possibilities with the women in Strive in different instances.
Not break just it down, Liz. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. Great question, Andresa. I will answer that right now for you. So listen, we talk a lot about when let's use our example. I don't have time, right? It comes back to this or this. I can either join the call or I'm not going to join the call. It's like we look at things in black and white, A or B. And the work I know that you, Andresa, and I have done, and I know, Alicia, you've done, is a whole other concept of, okay, what's the possibility here that there's options available to me that I'm not even aware of right now, that I'm not even present to? And so creating possibility is a problem-solving technique, if we want to call it something. But it's about creating a possibility in a relationship, in a way of being with time. So for example, right, Andresa, we see women, we have a standard that women are coming to our mastermind calls, our alignment coaching calls, and playing full out, right? That's an expectation. And then we'll say, I can't make this call on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, so I can't make any of the calls ever. So is there a possibility that you can make one every other month, right? There's a way of being. So when we're talking about possibilities, Alicia, and when it comes to time, what is a way of being that the women listening right now can take into their day to day? And when they say that word, I don't have time, what is a new question they can ask around possibility? And sometimes it's not going to be answered by yourself. You might need support. That's why we have Strive. And it's about not just the knowledge and support, but it's about the community. But what would you say to those women? How do they step forward in creating possibilities for themselves?
So I think this is a really big question.
It is a big question. I ask big questions.
One is way of being, right? Okay. So a big thing we teach and we've talked about, we brought speakers in, is about boundaries. And boundaries are really important. They also, just like any new skill, sometimes we can overutilize them. And so we can say, like, I have a boundary that I don't work after 4 p.m. because that is my family is my priority. So the other piece is, instead of I don't have time, it's really, what are you making a priority? So you could say it's not a priority, which that's not from me. There's a woman, Laura Vanderkam, who does a lot of work with time. And I learned this years ago from her book, 168 hours, you have more time than you think.
I believe we have a podcast, mm-hmm. We interview her.
Okay. Yeah. This was her. So, you know, when you say it's not a priority, that can be a real gut check. But when we're talking about like Strive calls and we're talking about someone investing in their future wealth and the wealth that they're currently creating, and we're talking about family, it's very easy for them to go, oh, it's not a priority, because family obviously is a priority. So that doesn't always work in these instances because it can create too much rigidity. And if you are too rigid as an entrepreneur, you're going to miss opportunities and you're going to miss possibilities. So I think the other thing to ask is like, what is to reconnect to vision? Like, what is it that I'm trying to create here? Okay. And why did I choose this thing? Whatever it is that you have in your life, whether it's your Strive calls, whether it's another opportunity you have to meet and network. Networking is another place where people sometimes skirt a little bit. And the thing is sometimes these calls, sometimes going to a networking is uncomfortable. So the truth is, when you're using your boundaries, like, I want to be, my family's a priority, I can't come at 7 p.m. to skirt what you're actually uncomfortable with, I think you've got to have that real conversation with yourself. Is like, am I not doing this because this is my comfort zone? Or is this really like a boundary? Like, I honestly can't be there. And then it's also going to family and saying, look, we have this vision for our family. This is important. How can we as a family make this happen?
I'd at least go one step further and say that I don't have time is actually just not a true statement.
It is not a true statement.
It's literally like, I don't have time, insert something else. I don't want to make time. I don't see the value of this. I'm making something else a priority. Like, it's literally not even a true, accurate
statement. But wait. My rational brain can justify that.
Sure.
Right? If I am unaware.
Sure.
If I am unaware, I can freaking give it to you hour by hour and justify and send screenshots and prove, right? I'll tell
you. And you would.
And I would. Right. But my conscious brain, I just wanted the from a consciousness perspective, that is not a true statement.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. So the question then becomes, when they get aware of this and you're doing the work to say what really is coming up for me from a priority, a boundary perspective, what is the next step then for, and I'd love to hear an example even, because you work very closely with our Women in Strive, coaching them much more on the mindset and leadership versus just real estate investing strategy. So I'd love to hear an example of what a woman did next, right? Once they're aware, conscious, okay, need to create a possibility. Great. Now what's the next step?
Go to Bahamas.
So
I'm going with you.
Have a drink.
You know, and we do this in the business and leadership coaching calls. We do this really in a group place, but it's really about starting at that point where I might ask someone, okay, so you're saying I don't have time. Imagine doing it. Like, you're saying, I get it. I believe you. You don't have time. I'll buy into their conscious brain. But if you did, what comes up for you? What are you worried about? There's always a worry. I'm worried I won't be a good friend. I won't be a good mom. I won't have enough money. I won't, you know, whatever it is. I won't be liked. I'll look stupid. So we always look at, okay, so pretend you're going to do it. And what's the worry? And then I ask, what are you making this mean? Like, what are you making that you think is true about this statement? Like, everybody I talk to thinks I'm stupid. Is that really true? Right? All of these judgments. And then the next question is, but what else could be true? And that's where you start. And I say, like, figure, like, think about it, make it up. What else could be true? And I don't think you can do this in silo, because you said this, like, well, okay, they're aware. Now what? Now you go to your group. You go to your group of gals, pals, your friends, your people that you're in community with. And you say, I'm telling myself a story that I don't have time, but in reality, I'm afraid that I won't be liked, or that the tenant will move out. Here's an example. The tenant will move out and I won't find another tenant who will fill that void. And then as they hear themselves say it, they're like, I don't actually think that's true. Like, yeah, but your unconscious does.
Even not firing a Airbnb cleaner, for example, happens.
Yeah, like, of all the billions of people in this world, you really think this is the only one person who can do mediocre work for you? There's probably someone better, or at least equally as mediocre. So there's someone else. And so it's coming to the community and letting them, it's being seen, and it's so vulnerable, but having Strive, like what we do in Strive, having that community of people who they can see where you're in your own way. They can see that blind spot and say, but is that true? What else is possible?
And I think that the key here is that you have other people in your circle that are also trained to offer support in a way that works. Because the worst thing is to hear from a friend, I'm here, I'm sorry you're going through it. Not helpful. I'm sorry, I don't know what to say to you.
Well, or when they say, oh, you're right, you don't have time. Yeah. Oh, I'm so busy too. And they're that crab in the bucket that just buys in your story.
Girl, it sounds like you need a drink, right? Not helpful. None of this is helpful. And I'm going to share something to you that happened to Liz and I, right? So when we're going through breakdowns, and then I hear this angel voice towards me saying, Andressa, let's create a possibility. I'm like, F that possibility. At the moment, I'm pissed, right? My brain.
Am I the angel voice, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, you are.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Like, what? Come to me. If I am the one triggered, Liz is the one that comes to me and say, what is the possibility that we're creating here? If she is the one triggered, I am the one, not sure angel voice, but I am the one saying, hey, hold on, let's take a step back and let's look at it. The reason why I'm saying this to you is that I use the term, oh, my brain got kidnapped. I am not conscious about it, and I need to regulate my emotion in order to be able to see several possibilities. But if I don't make that conscious decision, I am just operating from my shadow self, and anything that is going to come as a idea, Liz has beautiful ideas. If I am in my shadow self, anything that comes out of her mouth, I will shut it down, right? So I need to take responsibility, regulate myself, and just bring that up. And same thing for her. And I think that what we're sharing here is that when you create a support system around you, that can, number one, identify what's going on, take a step back. Nobody's taking anything personal. We put the ego aside and make a conscious choice to see, okay, what are the other possibilities that we're going to create out of this? And let's brainstorm. That's unstoppable. Unstoppable when you have that muscle around. And for all of you, you know, you have great friends, great family, but you've got to build support system that you can rely on, so you are not building a business on your own. You don't have to. You have done it. You experienced burnout, but now the second part of life requires a different you, a different way of being, which leads to my next question, Alicia. Sometimes, like, oh, once my kid goes to college, once I move to this new house, or once I get 3 more rental properties, or once my bookkeeper gets her shit together, or once a little, you blank, then I'll have more time. Is that also an excuse?
Again, it's priorities. I don't know that there's a right answer to that, because it's a matter of what experience you want to have in life. And I say that from the really personal place. Like, there are parts of my business growth I have given up to be present with my kids while they were not in school, like pre-elementary age. There are certain things that an experience that I want to have in life, and I'm willing to forego certain things in order to have that. So again, it's coming back to, it's not an excuse, but it's a matter of what you're choosing your experience to be.
Conscious choice, right?
Yeah, it's a conscious choice. Like, if you're saying, when this happens, then I'll do it, and you're doing it from we talk about this actually in Immunity to Change, where you may have a big assumption that if this, then that, you discover actually it's true. If I do this actively in my business, I am giving up time with my children potentially. And so I either have to put someone else in place, or if it's something I'm uniquely genius at and I have to be the one doing it, then I can choose to hold that as true. I just can't have both at the same time. They can't coexist. I've either got to change or solve in a different way, or I have to let it go and just say, you know what, I am choosing this for my life because this is what's important to me.
And there's no right or wrong, right?
Yeah, there isn't.
And there's always like, okay, now this partnership, we are a match. 3 months from now or whatever, 3 years from now, it might not be a match. So it's just like matching and reanalyzing it. So I love the conscious choice always.
And it's all about alignment. And I think that's the approach we take so wholeheartedly in Strive, right? It's not just about achieving goals, achieving doors, building your wealth to just build wealth. It's a way of being around it because these women are successful. They've already built businesses. We know we can do that, but we want to do it in a way that's very intentional and continually realigning. That's why I love, right, the monthly, what's working, what's not working. What do you need to let go of? And what do you need to do more of? It's not just about setting goals and achieving them. That's like 101. That's like old school, in my opinion. We all can do that. We all know how to do that. That's what's got us here. But to get us there where we want to be, it's a constant realignment. It's not a one and done. It's not like these are my priorities for the rest of my life. It's a monthly, weekly, daily conversation. What's priority today? What needs to get shifted? And if you're not around a like-minded group of women that are at your level or above your level, not about net worth, but about just like a way of being and thinking, you will be dragged down to the, no offense, Aunt Sally's and the friends that you have because they're not at that level. So
they'll tell you you're working too hard.
I've had friends tell me that. Like, yeah. Liz, I don't know how you do it all. You're crazy. What are you doing? Like, I was telling someone about a new project I was doing and they're like, wow, your plate is really full. That's interesting. I'm like, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I don't know what you're thinking, but I know it's going to be great. So
I really want, and I just want to land this, like, if you are choosing priorities because you think it makes you look good, though, within your community, and it's not in alignment with what you want, I think there's a space for people to really own wherever they are. And as coaches, like the three of us are, we see women's potential beyond where they see themselves, but we can't want it more than you do. If that's not what you want, I support, like, whatever your journey is, whatever it looks like, I support you. And I think sometimes they receive that as judgment. And it's not judgment. It's that we see potential. And I just remember being on the receiving end of someone seeing potential. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not willing to do that to get that because this over here is more important. And either help me figure out how to do both, which I think there is a place for both and. But don't receive it as judgment. I think that's one of the things. I think women judge themselves so harshly.
Absolutely. And you know, highly encourage everyone listening that's had done at least 5 to 10 deals. You're growing your portfolio. And then you look around and it's mostly just you. In your business and your life where you're like the one that always knows the most answers. You have the most knowledge. You really need to up level. We invite you to up level because we do see your strengths even and abilities even more than you probably do. So definitely invite you to come play with us. Come learn about Strive. It's an application only. And it's such a powerful group of women, really up-leveling, not just their strategies and portfolio. Yes, that gets done, but it's a way of being, right, Alicia? And that's what we stand for. That's why we do what we do. That's why we exist. So please check that out. We'll put that in the show notes where you can apply and learn more about our Strive mentorship program. Alicia, this has been great today. Thank you so much for being on our show. Thank you for all the, just who you are to Strive and to our community. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Alicia, always a pleasure, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.